Thank you. Good evening. Pleased to be here for the 8 o'clock news briefing on Winter Storm Knife, as we are now done, of course, with the snow phase, but are still in cleanup and getting ready for potential flooding. I want to introduce the people who are here tonight from left to right. We have Deputy Commissioner of Emergency Services Greg Butcher, who just finished a command as incident commander. We have to my left as well, the Emergency Services Commissioner Dan Neverth. Behind me to my left is the Deputy Commissioner of Highways Bill Gary. Behind me is Chief Scott Joslin from the Erie County Sheriff's Office, and of course our Health Commissioner, Dr. Gail Burstein. So I want to jump right in here. There's a lot of questions about roads and bans and driving bans and state of emergencies. What we're doing in Erie County is we have a state of emergency that was issued, a limited one for particular municipalities based on the states of emergencies that have been issued by towns. So if a town lifts its state of emergency and its driving ban, we lift the county's state of emergency and driving ban for that town. And just recently, the town of West Seneca lifted its state of emergency and driving ban, so the state of emergency and driving ban has been lifted for West Seneca as well for the county. We anticipate that there will be other communities throughout the night that adjust their states of emergencies and driving bans, and the best way to keep track of that is to go to erie.gov. We will be updating that throughout the night. So if people are questioning whether the driving ban has been lifted in their community, the easiest way is to check erie.gov, which will be adjusted throughout the night. As was announced earlier by Governor Cuomo, the Thruway, the 400, and the 219 are open, as well as the 190. Though the exits, as you go from, I believe, exit 54 is the 400, but past 54, if you are on those, you are going westbound, you're going all the way to Pennsylvania. As I said if you're getting on the Thruway, to go visit Grandma's house, hope your Grandma's house is in Pennsylvania, because you're not getting off the Thruway until Pennsylvania if you're going westbound. Eastbound, if you are exiting anywhere from exit 52 onwards, I believe you actually can get off at any time afterwards. So I just want to remind everybody, while the Thruway is technically open, it's generally being opened for traversing of New York State. It's not being there so you can just get in and hop, skip, and a jump from one portion of the town to the next. I do know that basically from the 400 eastbound, all of the exit ramps are open. Afterwards, it's I think after Walden, it's hit or miss. So people need to be aware of that the exit ramps may not be open. So once you basically pass the Walden exits, you may be on a trip to Pennsylvania, whether you like it or not. And we need to do that because some of the areas where those exits are not completely clear. When we did the tour with Governor Cuomo earlier, there were still abandoned cars along the side of ditches, which was making it difficult to actually get through. When we went on the 400 on Seneca Street exit, there were abandoned cars that were not going to be taken out today. There were abandoned cars all over the place on Seneca Street. On Slade Avenue, there were abandoned cars facing the wrong direction, going angle in the middle of the street on Potter's. In front of Mercy Hospital, there were abandoned cars, and that just tells folks that even though a lot of work and great work has been done, there's still abandoned cars everywhere. When we were coming back on our tour with the governor earlier, we saw abandoned cars off the side of the road near the exit 55 exit, in the middle of the median between the two sides of the 219. So it certainly is not the easiest drive. Generally, the Thruway and the 400 and the 219 look good between the lanes, but off you may see abandoned cars. And that's why when it comes to the Thruway, we're still having some issues with some of the areas and the exits in the south that they have not, and to my knowledge, are still not allowing people to exit. So I just want people to understand if they get on the Thruway, we've been talking about it all day, you may end up in Pennsylvania. As I stated, we did do the tour with the governor earlier. We toured a number of sites, starting in South Buffalo, and we're really thankful for the New York National Guard that were out there clearing the streets around Mercy Hospital so we can get ambulances throughout and around Mercy Hospital as well as staff. It was very important. The streets around Mercy Hospital and South Buffalo at that side or that area are still very, very tough to navigate. Abbott Road, which is the main thoroughfare, of course, was open for vehicular traffic as it pertains to emergency vehicles, but not anyone else. The side streets were still very, very full of snow. So when we were going around, it was quite evident that, and I'm talking to the mayor as well, that it was going to take some time to clear off some of those side streets. We went on the thruway. As I said, the thruway at that point was pretty good between the lane markers. But once you get on the sides of that, there were huge snow drifts as well as cars potentially off on the side. We stopped off with the governor at a number of locations in the south towns. We were at on Route 28, Big Tree Road, to a state-run group home, and met with some of the residents there, including Stacy Pettigrew, who was a worker at the group home, who reported for duty on Monday and was still there as of today. And she was the only one, other than another worker who was able to come in and sporadically as a volunteer fire individual, who was able to help that group home and just show what some people have been dealing since the beginning of this. And I was very glad that the National Guard was there as well to dig out the driveway so that these individuals could actually have somebody replace them and report to work. We were also touring and showing, seeing a lot of the work that was being done in the south towns. It's quite evident that the major roads are in very good shape. The secondary roads needed work, and the side streets, of course, most of them had not been plowed. And I'm just reminding everybody it's because there's so much that needed to be done. We were on Lake Avenue, and as I said earlier, Lake Avenue was kind of like the surface of the moon. It was navigable for emergency vehicles, but it was not navigable at that point for what we consider normal driving. And the National Guard was working on Lake Avenue in Orchard Park as well as the side streets to clear those so people could actually get through. I said it earlier, people wonder why we haven't been able to get every street plowed. Erie County government alone owns and controls 2,400 lane miles of roads, 2,400 centerline miles. We get assistance in plowing these roads from the various towns. But based on a rough estimate, we think approximately up to 1,800 miles of those roads were impacted by this storm. And that's a lot of roads to plow and constantly plow when the snow's coming down, sometimes at a rate of 4 inches an hour. So I want to thank our partners who've been out there helping, whether they're the town, contractors we hired, the state. We are getting and we're trying to get to them as quickly as possible. And I know there's a lot of people who are wishing we had completed it by now. But just in Erie County roads alone, we're about 1,800 miles of roads that needed to be plowed. That does not include town, village roads. Thousands and thousands of roads that needed to be cleaned. And as reminded everyone, sometimes we had to go car by car, moving vehicles, pushing them to the side to get to a point where we could actually just plow the road. That was not easy. The governor earlier today pledged a number of new pieces of equipment as they come off the work from the DOT to Erie County. Just recently, we moved 13 DOT plows to two municipalities, 6 to the town of Hamburg, 7 to the town of West Seneca, and we'll be doing that throughout as the DOT plows finish their assignments with regards to state roads. Instead of being sent back to the barracks or moved back to other parts of the state, they're actually being immediately turned over. As long as the drivers get through the rest period, they're being immediately turned over for use on not just county roads, but town roads and village roads. As the need sees fit. We get requests in, and I'll leave that up to Bill Geary to talk a little bit later when we talk about roads and how the process works. We get requests in from the towns, the villages, and the cities, and then we send out work based off of the requests. But I do know that there are a substantial amount, hundreds of additional pieces of equipment that are actually at our ready now once they are finished with their DOT work, and I'm very appreciative of that because it is certainly going to help. We are preparing for the next phase, and the next phase is potential flooding. We still don't have a complete grasp of the impact zone, though I've seen flood possibility maps, and they make up a sufficient portion of Erie County. Not surprising, the same area that was really hit hard in the Hamburg, Lackawanna, and east going through West Seneca, Cheektowaga, Lancaster, Elma, including Evans. So we're very worried about that. We'll be keeping track and ideas of what we need to do to advise people. We've told all along that you need to act accordingly yourself. There's a risk for basement flooding, and so if you have things in your basement that are you consider precious and you would not want to be destroyed, we ask you to take them out of your basement now. It's very important, as was noted earlier by Mayor Brown. If there is water in your basement, if and when this flooding occurs, you should never walk into it because there may be a live electrical current through it. If you have a sump pump, I would suggest checking your sump pump now, making certain, because most sump pumps flow outside, of course, not all, but some flow outside, that you actually check and make certain the connections are good. which might be difficult under snow, but we ask you to check it now because the last thing you want to find out is your sump pump doesn't work on Monday if you're getting flooding in your basement. So please check on that now. The state is either brought or is in the process of bringing here the following equipment and assets: 180,000 sandbags, 425 pumps and generators, 55 boats, 29 high-axle vehicles, and 3 helicopters in the case of flooding. We hope we don't have to use them, but they are being brought here and staged at the ready. The Erie County Division of Sewerage Management has 8 districts, which primarily deal with sewers, but we also have one, the 6th district, which is storm and regular sanitary sewers. So I say sewers, I mean sanitary sewers. And then the 6th district is also storm and sanitary sewers. The Erie County Division of Sewerage Management has 25 large diesel fuel pumps right now that are sitting on trailers at the ready across the county in the event of flooding. So the Erie County Division of Sewerage Management is at the ready in the event we need to pump out areas that we can use with our pumps. And, of course, New York State is bringing in tremendous assets, which we hope we never have to use. But if we do, they're going to be at the ready. So at this time, I'd like to turn it over to Commissioner Nevereth to finish up the briefing on what we're planning on doing in the event of a flood situation.
Thank you, Mark. Just to give a quick little overview, the magnitude of this operation now has more than tripled with regards to the resources and the assets that we have coming in. The Erie County Department of Emergency Services, as well as the Western District Incident Management Team, has now been joined by the New York State Incident Management Team. That should give you an idea of the magnitude of these resources that we have at our disposal, that we have to be able to make sure that they're assigned and detailed appropriately. So we have a tremendous amount of cooperation currently with all of our partners on the local level. We just got off a conference call with all of our local emergency managers. We're looking specifically for whatever their needs are or might be. So we have some of the information from them with regards to what we will pre-deploy. And some of the areas maybe that are not traditional flood areas, maybe the higher elevations, what their needs might be that we can keep in staging and deploy if need be. So we're getting situation reports from the grassroots. We're feeding them on up so that in the event that we do need to push out some of these resources, we've got our incident management teams that are working on the plans, the operations, to push those out. So it's a lot of cooperation that's going on, a lot of collaboration, and we're just trying to pull all of these things together at this point with regards to an amazing amount of resources. What you have to keep in mind is having the resources is one part of a major equation. The other part is to be able to take those resources and get them to where they need to be. So we've been assured that we have almost unlimited access to the state's resources. There's a tremendous list that we could go over with regards to some of these items. But at this time, let it suffice to say that we've got a lot of resources that we can use. Now it's just a matter of figuring out where we want to pre-deploy them based on the recommendations from previous flood areas and where some of these areas might be that we might all of a sudden now, because of the large nature and the amount of snow, non-traditional flood areas might actually be impacted. We're hoping for the best, but we're also preparing for the worst.
Thank you, Dan. Appreciate that. Now we're going to go through something that we have not talked about before, but we've been getting some requests for, which is the abandoned car recovery process. Erie County, as you know, had a problem in plowing roads because we had abandoned cars everywhere, blocking the roads, and we had to move those roads or move the cars off the roads so that we could actually plow the roads. There are 3 locations, which we're not revealing at this time, but there are 3 locations in which the lot are being used as sort of impound lots for vehicles that were towed by authorized towing companies by Erie County. There are vehicles sitting there right now. And what we are doing is we are compiling a database that will list the make, model, license plate, and location of the vehicle. And at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, that will go live on our internet. If you go to www.erie.gov right now, there's a link that says abandoned vehicle information here. And if you click on it, it'll say come back soon. So don't click on it now. There's no reason to. But at 9 o'clock in the morning, it will go live tomorrow, and it will list the 3 locations where vehicles are. And it'll also list the vehicles that are there. What you will have to do is you'll have to scroll through the list to identify if your vehicle was towed by an authorized towing company by Erie County to one of these three locations. If your vehicle is not on the list, it means it has not been towed by an authorized towing company from Erie County. It may have been left on a state road. It may have been left on a county road. It may have been left on a town or city road. We don't know that. But we do know that towing companies on behalf of Erie County did tow vehicles. There were seven companies in all: Rusniak's, Buffalo Towing, John's Towing, Dan Walton and Sons. Those were Erie County companies, and there were three from Niagara County who graciously helped us out: Harrington Service, Page's Towing, and Two Tow Motors. We had a protocol in place that said the car had to be identified as being at a particular location. The make, model, license plate number was identified, and then the vehicle was towed to one of three locations, and then our records note that. So tomorrow at 9 o'clock in the morning, it will show where the vehicles are if it was towed by an Erie County authorized tower. If it was not towed by an Erie County authorized tower, I don't know where it might be. It's as simple as that. We only have the records of the towing companies that work that were contracted and work for us. If they were a towing company that was contracted by a town or someone else, it may be in a different location. I don't know. I can't answer that question. Cars that were towed to the Erie County three impound lots that will be revealed tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock that were towed by an authorized towing company, the county will not seek reimbursement for the towing costs from the individual who owns the vehicle, which costs approximately $150 or so per vehicle. We know there are approximately 500 cars towed, so the Erie County government is accepting the costs associated with that for our citizens, and we will accept the cost, which in total turns out to be about $75,000. So we're asking citizens to understand that this was an emergency situation. I know you don't have your vehicle now, and you're very impatient sometimes, and you'd like to get your vehicle, but we're doing the best that we can. As of 9 o'clock in the morning, you will be able to find, if you identify your car through its license plate, make, and model, where it is, and then you will be able to get it, and we will not charge you for that. If your car was towed by a non-county authorized towing company, we are not reimbursing for those costs. If a town specifically hired a different towing company and they towed that, even if it was on a county road, we are not reimbursing for it because we only can reimburse for those that we contracted with. So we are eating, truthfully, the cost associated with this, which will be about $75,000. But we just wanted the folks to know we only know of the vehicles that were towed to a particular location by the towing companies that we hired. If we didn't hire them, we don't know where your vehicle is. And I'm not saying... and so we're going to probably get a lot of calls from folks saying, my car was on such and such road, it's not on your list. Our problem is we don't know where it is. So we can only identify the cars that we have authorized towing companies take to particular locations. 9 o'clock in the morning, the site will be active. There are sheriff's deputies. There will be sheriff's deputies at each location, two deputies at each location to ensure the protection of the vehicles, so people are not looting the vehicles, and the sheriff's deputies are there right now. As I said, I do not want to reveal the locations because I truthfully don't want people coming out there now trying to search for a vehicle. It's not going to be easy to find in each of the lots because there's a few hundred at each of the lots. We do not have them identified in a particular position in a lot. Basically, they were towed, they were placed in the lot, they were towed and placed in the lot. So if you do come to the lot and you do see that your lot, you say, is at or your car is at lot A of A, B, and C, and you try to find it, there's no map there that says where your car is. You're going to have to walk between all of the vehicles to identify your car. What happens is you'll have to basically turn the vehicle on as you're leaving, show the sheriffs that you actually have a key in there and you've not hot-wired it, and it's as simple as that. We're not going to identify the owners of the vehicles on the website, only the make, model, and license plate number and the location. I ask people tomorrow, it's going to take some time, you're going to have to scroll through the list to identify your vehicle. And if your vehicle is not identified on that, we do not have it, at least, and we don't know where it is. We've heard that some private towing companies were taking vehicles off roads and trying to drop them off at one of our three locations. We don't know if that's true. because we stopped early on when we announced where our locations were to some towing companies. So there may have been some private companies that picked up vehicles that are not authorized by Erie County to do so and towed them to one of these three lots. But we don't have that information. We've heard that from one of the towing companies that was authorized, saying they thought that a tower was dropping off vehicles there. And if that's the case, I can't guarantee you where it actually is, and the county will not reimburse for that cost. We were asked by some people, is there a possibility that some of the vehicles may have sustained damage? And the answer is yes. This was an emergency situation. At some times, vehicles had to be pushed to the side so that we could get plows through. Some we know just by seeing them when we were touring had substantial damage, side swiping from plows and the like. This was an emergency situation, and this situation here, the county will not be reimbursing for that, but that would be covered by your insurance company. But we are waiving the cost associated that the county has borne for the towing fee, which as of right now cost would end up being about $75,000 in total. So at this time, I'd like to turn it over to Bill Geary for an update on the roads and what's going on and how it's moving. And I can tell you this, it's progressing very well. It is progressing very well. I know a lot of people are feeling like, well, my road hasn't been done yet. But there are over 5,000 individuals working on behalf of the entire state helping us deal with this. And the vast majority of those individuals are directly dedicated to snowplow removal.
Thank you, sir. Good evening. As the county executive alluded to, today was we made a tremendous progress on all these roads. We're still a lot of work ahead of us, especially down in the town of Evans, Eden, Hamburg area. New York State DOT equipment, as it's becoming available, like County Executive Polnkar was talking about earlier, is going to these municipalities. It's helping them out. They're relieving our forces. The Erie County Highway Department, these men that have been working around the clock basically since early Tuesday morning are finally getting to go home to their families and dig out their driveways. So my hat's off to them. They've put in a tremendous work, and they're the epitome of public servants. With the oncoming traffic bans and travel bans being lifted, just please exercise extreme caution, because we still are trying to get some major roads, like in Orchard Park right now, Lake Avenue. We're clearing more on Abbott, Armor Duels, so that other municipalities can therefore lift their travel bans. But when I say that, there's a lot of heavy equipment on there. Please be very cognizant. These sight lines on our streets, due to the piles of snow, just like they have accumulated in front of your house, I know I had to dig through mine. That was about 6.5 feet high. You just don't have the visibility. A lot of people are out walking because their streets are snowed in. Please watch for them. If you are out walking, you're going to the store, wear some high visibility clothing. Please do it in daylight hours. Again, we're going to continue to work through the night, whether it's our contractors, the DOT, municipalities, I imagine, are going to be doing the same thing. All the requests the municipalities have put in for equipment is arriving. These municipalities are starting to get the reinforcements that they need to get on these secondary roads now that some of these major arteries are open. And again, everybody's patient, helping out your neighbors. Everybody's been tremendous, and it's helped us out do our job.
Thank you, Bill. Appreciate it. And as he noted, they've been working almost nonstop since actually the first crews were there on Monday night. And for them, I really am thankful. They've worked and done yeoman's job in a very difficult task. We're in a much better situation. Every day we've advanced tremendously, and we are in a much better situation with almost every one of the major roads open. The secondaries, a lot of them are open, and we're now hitting some of the side streets as well. This time I'd like to turn it over to the County Sheriff's Office Chief Scott Joslin to give an update from the Sheriff's Office.
Thank you and good evening. We've heard a couple very key words here, collaboration and cooperation, and that is exactly what has been happening through this the last 5 days, and it's what will continue, and it's what will get us through this. I feel pretty confident that I can speak on behalf of all law enforcement across Erie County. Law enforcement, we're receiving a high volume, a extremely high volume call, and how we're getting through this is simply prioritizing. So if you've reached out to whether it's the Emergency Operations Center or your local police department and you feel as though your need or your concern has not been addressed or is not important, I'm here to tell you that it is. Each and every one of those concerns are important, but we're prioritizing. So what are we handling now on a day-to-day basis? And that's medical issues. Right now, we are entertaining dialysis transports. We're taking those dialysis patients to various locations across the county for treatment, and then we're returning after their treatment and returning them back home. It's been very taxing, and I want to thank all my partners in law enforcement, the New York State Police, Department of Environmental Conservation, New York State Park Police, and other agencies that I'm sure I'm going to miss, and every single agency law enforcement-wise across the county. Going forward, we know that there are going to be additional challenges, and if we recognize the significance of these challenges and allow these other agencies, the Highway Department, Emergency Medical Services, to do their jobs, we can clear those roads up much quicker, and we can make it safer for everybody, and we can hopefully get back to our normal course of business in rather short order. I do want everybody to know that we are also working collaboratively and have over the last couple days with Meals on Wheels. We have prioritized, or I should say Meals on Wheels has prioritized, those individuals that receive that service and are unable, they're not accessible through the program. So a special thank you to our friends north of us, the Niagara County Sheriff's Department, and to the south of us, the Cattaraugus County Sheriff's Office. We owe a great deal of a big thank you to them for assisting us over the last 5 days. We were able to today deliver more than 30 blizzard boxes to 30 different residences, often where we found that there wasn't a path in or a path out at that point. So that served two purposes. It allowed us to get out there and actually conduct a welfare check, get some very important information from those folks, and if there was an emergency, who we would be contacting, so on and so forth. So I just want to urge everybody to pay particular attention to the driving bans, and just because a ban has been lifted does not mean it's time to go out and kind of take a check of the area and see what's going on. We are spending an exhausting and exorbitant amount of resources tending to and addressing pretty much self-inflicted injuries, things that should not have happened, okay? And we need to be cognizant of that and allow us to use our resources in the most efficient, effective way. Thanks.
Thanks, Chief. I want to echo the remarks of Chief Joslin. I want to thank Sheriff O'Toole from Niagara County, Sheriff Whitcomb from Catt County. They have had tremendous amount of, we've had a tremendous amount of support from those two offices. The Sheriff O'Toole himself, I know, is delivering prescriptions and picking up Meals on Wheels blizzard boxes, so I want to specifically thank him. Shows what we do in Western New York. We help out our fellow Western New Yorkers in their time of need, and I thank them. And I hope we never have to reciprocate, but if we do, we will be there for them. Finally, I want to have an update from the Department of Health from our Dr. Burstein. Though I have some more sad news to report, we are now back up to 13 deaths. A 68-year-old male in Cheektowaga passed away from what we believe to be a cardiac event related to cleaning of snow at 2 p.m. So we've had another one, and it's sad because now we're 13, once again, 13 individuals who have perished as a result of this storm, 11 in the county of Erie, one in Niagara, and the final one in Genesee. So, but for more on that and other Department of Health updates, Dr. Gail Burstein.
Thank you. Good evening. So as our county executive mentioned, we had another death that was reported this afternoon that occurred in Cheektowaga of a 68-year-old male who was working with a snowblower and had known cardiac issues. He had known cardiac health problems, and he succumbed to a cardiac event and died this afternoon. So again, it's reinforcing that people with known cardiac issues, people who have are being followed for any type of cardiovascular disease, including hypertension, even though you may feel well, you may be well controlled under your medication, it is it's not worth the risk to clear your driveway. First of all, just going outside, the added exertion of keeping your body warm in the cold temperatures puts extra strain on your heart. And then in addition, you know, trying to maneuver a heavy equipment or shoveling the snow puts an additional burden on your heart that with people with known any type of heart disease can really trigger an MI that can be fatal. And we've seen this here so far, this storm. This has been a deadly storm. So please, if you have any known heart condition, including blood pressure problems, you know, please, you know, try to refrain from clearing out your driveway tomorrow. Again, you know, people tomorrow are going to be eager to get out, clean their driveway. But again, there are plenty of kids in the neighborhoods that you can just, you know, I'm sure are eager to make a few extra dollars and clean your driveway. Again, the snow is going to be wet and heavy tomorrow. It is not worth it. You do not want to be the next person we're reporting on. So please be careful. Also, we spoke into the hospitals today, and they're reporting a more optimistic picture. The hospitals in general have adequate staffing. They don't have 100% of their staffing needs, but they're able to get staff in and out much more easily than they had the past couple days. They're also able to get discharges home out of the hospital back into their homes, a good supply of pharmaceuticals, a good supply of food. So the healthcare system is looking like it's in better shape. However, there still could be people who do not feel that they can go out and get a prescription refilled if they need that. So, again, there are things that people can do to problem solve before they reach out to emergency services. You know, first of all, you can look on the internet, or you can look in the phone book to see if your pharmacy is closed, what is the next closest pharmacy is open. The governor issued an order today that is allowing pharmacists to fill prescriptions that are not originally written for them. So if you have the bottle that shows proof that you have a prescription and it's ready for a refill, you can take that to the pharmacy and they can fill that prescription. Also, oftentimes pharmacists have access to databases that has a documentation of your prescription, so that could be an opportunity too to fill your prescription. So you don't necessarily have to go to your same pharmacy. Also, they could have, you know, friends, neighbors, relatives that can help you get your prescription filled. Also, we are fortunate enough to have pharmacies in our area that deliver. So you can go on our Erie County Department of Health website and look for that list, or you can call your pharmacy and see if they are aware of another pharmacy in the area that does deliver. So there are plenty of things that we can do to try to problem solve to get our prescriptions filled, you know, before we reach out to emergency services. So again, I just want to emphasize to everybody, you know, this we're not done yet. We anticipate some more bad weather coming with the flooding. So again, you know, please use common sense. You know, please be safe. Please help your neighbors. Check on your neighbors. It still can be difficult for people to get out. And we've, you know, been working together. You know, it takes a village or it takes a county to, you know, keep ourselves healthy and safe. So let's keep up that spirit over the weekend. Thank you.
Thank you, Doc. As has been noted, there are driving bans that are being lifted in communities. This is not an invitation to go out and do a joyride. There's treacherous conditions still. Driving ban may be lifted in the community, but some of the streets are still very difficult to navigate. And we're asking people to not drive if you can. Do not, basically no unnecessary travel. I'm hopeful that other communities will be lifting driving bans tonight. But this is the end of the snowstorm. We're now in the middle of the cleanup, the recovery, with a potential significant flooding event to happen. With a little bit of it probably starting tomorrow night, but the vast majority of it on Sunday through Tuesday. So we want people, especially with tomorrow, more than likely not having a flooding event during the day, to check your sump pump. Do those type of things that we've recommended, because if you're in an area where you've got 7 feet of snow, that's the Weather Service is forecasted, that's approximately about 6 to 7 inches of rainwater that's going to have to go somewhere. And if you're in a low-lying area, even though the ground, thankfully, is not frozen, it's going to go somewhere, and it may be your basement. It may be if you're driving along a road that's got a viaduct under a bridge, as we've seen before, do not be surprised if you immediately come into that viaduct and find 5 or 6 feet of water. That's a possibility. The water's got to go somewhere. So we want people to be aware and to be smart and to be safe. We've had 13, unfortunately, fatalities, and we certainly don't want a 14th, including any associated with flooding when we know it potentially is coming and everyone's been adequately advised. I want to thank each and every one of the staff members here in the EEOC who've done a tremendous job under some highly stressful situations with people from all across New York State helping and assisting. I thank each of our communities from across New York State for doing so. I especially thank the people in our community who've stepped up to the plate to help, whether they work for county government as a public service or a servant or they're volunteers or they work for any of the other communities in this region. We would not be where we are today without their work and their assistance. As I've said before, if you see an individual who's working on the behalf of the cleanup, thank them. It means a lot. Be glad to take some questions on.
If somebody doesn't have internet access and they need to find their car, what should they do?
Go to someone who's got internet access.
How many cars have you towed?
We have an estimate of around 500. We'll know exactly once the final list is uploaded to the website tonight.
We're still towing cars, too.
Yeah, we're still towing. So that's going to change.
Dr. Bernstein, can you elaborate on the resurrection case, the individual who was initially reported as deceased and now is on the ground?
Sure. Well, overnight, we were informed that there were two deaths associated with the nursing home evacuation late yesterday. And this morning, when we followed up on those reports, we discovered that one report was true. There was one individual who did die in association with this transfer, although it was after the transfer, after the person was situated in another nursing home. And then we also discovered that the other reported death was actually not true, and so we're fortunate enough to only have one death associated with this very complicated, very cumbersome transfer of elderly people from a nursing home out into other areas that can house them. So I just want to commend the people involved with this operation. It was a huge operation. We had multiple partners involved with this, really, moving a large population, almost 200 people who all had, some type of medical condition. And we're so fortunate that, although we're so sad that we did have a loss of one life, we're so fortunate that it was just one loss of life.
So was it a clerical error that caused this erroneous report?
We're investigating that. We're not sure where the miscommunication lay, but I think, in the big picture, I think we have to focus on that. We did lose one life, but the good news is it was just one life that was lost among all those residents that had so many complicated health conditions.
$75,000 just to close the cars. Do you have any idea how much the storms cost so far?
Oh, wow. Well, we are burn rate on contractors and other stuff was approaching somewhere around $400,000 a day. It certainly has gotten more as we've gone along. It started lower because we had a prime contractor who hired some subs and then they hired more subs. We've got lots of people working. The county's fleet is only about 40 plows at any one time if they're all on the road, but we've got lots of plows and lots of trucks and lots of loaders that have been retained by the county. So I think between overtime, costs associated with maintaining the Emergency Operations Center, the barns, I would not be surprised if we've easily spent over $2 million as a county right now.
Getting Senator Schumer out to see this tomorrow then has to feel pretty critical. He's a guy who can bring in a lot of that FEMA support.
I will be meeting and touring parts of the community with Senator Schumer. And we've already talked a number of times, talked to Senator Schumer at least. I've talked to him personally two times, and I know his staff has been in touch multiple times. Congressman Brian Higgins was here earlier today talking about the same thing, what we can do to help for FEMA. Having the senator on the ground will be important because he needs to see with his own eyes what's happened. And I think that's very important. People have been critical of the attempt to, or our attempts to get back to normalcy. Why my road hasn't been plowed? We've heard that. Until you actually are in this area, it's really difficult to understand how bad it is in some of these areas. Think about it. If we ever had a storm in which we got 3 feet of snow, be very difficult to handle, but we can handle it. We've had storms like that if it was region-wide. And that's not an easy thing to handle. And people are complaining, my road's got 3 feet. Why hasn't mine been plowed yet? Well, there's roads out there where they had 7 feet and more. So you can't just go in there with plows. You got to go in with loaders and pick up the snow and put them in trucks and then dump them. And it was done all over the community like that. So it's been a storm that is, sorry, I would say biblical magnitude, I guess, something that none of us have seen. I guess the best description was what our Commissioner of Public Works, John Lafredo, said, because he was working in public works, I believe, in the city at the time of the blizzard of 1977, and he said it was a mini blizzard of 77, but it was actually worse in the middle of this storm than the blizzard of 77 was, but thankfully the blizzard of 77 was over a greater area, and this wasn't. If we had the same type of storm in North Buffalo, Tonawanda, Amherst, that hit Lancaster, Cheektowaga, Evans, Hamburg, Lackawanna, I don't know where we'd be today. But we are moving forward, and the major roads are open. And the secondary roads are, many of them are already open or in the process of being open. And I know that we're starting to get out there and actually hit residential streets. So I know people are upset that their road hasn't been plowed. But as Governor Cuomo and I and Mayor Brown all noted today, our number one priority was health and life and public safety. And if that meant when National Guard troops were brought in, even if they had plows and we needed to deploy National Guard troops to deliver medicine, to pick up prescriptions, to take people to the hospital, that was it. And if somebody's road was not plowed as a result of it until today or tomorrow, I know a lot of people are angry, and some of them are saying, Mark Poloncarz, you should have done a better job. I can live with that. It's as simple as that.
Can you clarify the three locations that the cars are being towed to? Have the locations been disclosed, or just not the car and the location?
We're not disclosing either right now. Not until we actually can confirm and have the full list updated, which we will have online active at 9 a.m. We do know the locations, of course, but there's a reason why. Because we're truthfully fearful that people are going to get up in the middle of the night and start searching these lots, if they know where they are, to find their vehicle. And that's not good because, number one, it's the middle of the night, and number two, they may go from lot to lot, and it could take them hours, and we don't want that to happen. We want people to wait until 9 o'clock in the morning. It'll be a Saturday. Wake up, have a nice breakfast, go out, relax. If you get up at 7 o'clock in the morning, take a little stroll if you can get out to your driveway. Come back in, go on the Internet, and check. If you don't have the Internet, I ask that you contact a relative or a friend who has the Internet and give them your make, model, and license plate number of your vehicle and have them go online and check. We will have it uploaded by 9 o'clock in the morning, and then we literally expecting lots of people to start trying to get their vehicles. But I want to remind everybody, if you live in a community where there's a driving ban right at that time, you shouldn't be getting in on the road from with your neighbor's car or anywhere else because there's a driving ban still in place. So we want you to take that into consideration as well.
Last question, guys. It's been cold. People have been shut in for a while. Have you seen any problems with the CO or anyone treated with the CO?
Nothing anymore.
No.
A lot of alarms being investigated. I would say, you know, again, a shout out to a lot of the firefighters, not only City of Buffalo, but all of the volunteer agencies. They have, over the last 4 days, responded to numerous carbon monoxide alarms within their communities. Case of Orchard Park, it's probably upwards of 30 just in Orchard Park alone. Fortunately, there have been no illness-related incidents. They've been more or less false alarms. But yeah, that's part of the issue is there have been numerous, and they continue to respond to those. But we do want to stress, don't ignore your carbon monoxide detectors going off. Everyone should be validated, and every one of them should be checked out. As much as sometimes it is a nuisance or people don't want the fire department to come on and check these things out, I would stress it's very, very important that we continue to do that.
Thank you. I appreciate everyone's patience in this matter. This will be the last media presentation for the evening, and we will not have one at 6:30 in the morning. We are gunning and shooting for noon. Thanks, everyone.